Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing my series on God Wants You Well, and this is the beginning of my sixth week. I know that that's a long time, and some of you wish that I'd move on to something else, but you know what? There's just a lot of information. Plus, I've been playing these testimonies, these videos that my television department has produced about people who've been healed as a result of getting hold of these truths about healing. And I really think that these testimonies are really important. You know, it's one thing to teach the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But I have seen testimonies really impact people. Revelation chapter 12 says that you overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. And I think it's really important to give modern day testimonies of miracles that have happened and things that have happened. So because of these testimonies interwoven amongst my teaching, we're now into the sixth week, and I think that we're going to probably go at least 7 weeks or maybe even 8 weeks on this teaching. And I know that there's some people that wished I'd go on to something else, but this is important. You know, I used this logic when I first got started in this, but my dad was a godly man. He was the chairman of the deacons in our Baptist church. He loved God. He witnessed to people. He helped people. He was a good man, but he wasn't taught about healing. And because of it, he actually died when he was 42 and was raised from the dead because people were praying for him. But then he died again when he was 54, and he was invalid nearly, not totally invalid. He could get around, but he couldn't do very much. He had to have like a lounge chair at his office. He was a vice president of an insurance company, and he had to have a lounge chair that he took a nap every day. When he came home, he couldn't do anything. He just had to lay down. You know, he never got out and played ball with us or did anything because he didn't feel good enough. And so the whole time I was growing up, he was always, you know, wasn't invalid, he wasn't a handicap, but he was just inactive because of all of this, struggled. And then he died when he was 54, right after I'd turned 12 years old. And, you know, I grew up without a dad. My mother, I forget exactly, but I think she was in her 40s, around 45 or something when that happened, or 40, I guess it would have been 47. And she was a widow raising two boys. My sister was already gone, but she still had two boys at home. And it caused a lot of problems just simply because he was a godly man, but he didn't know what the Word of God said about healing. And so he died young, caused me to grow up without a father, caused my mother to be a widow at a young age. It caused all kinds of problems. There were hardships. And simply because people chose to not emphasize this. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And so I believe that this is important. It's not the most important thing. There's other things besides healing, but it's important and it's worth devoting time to. And all of these materials that I've got here, I could literally teach on healing for a year or two at a time on television. I really could. I know some of you think I'm exaggerating, but that's how much I could minister on all this. So devoting 6-7 weeks to the subject of healing on television, I don't believe is out of line at all. I believe it's very good. Now, we've been teaching on reasons why people aren't healed. And I've been over in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, where Jesus' disciples could not cast this demon out of a boy who was possessed. And after Jesus had set this boy free, then they came and said, why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus taught them in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, it's because of your unbelief. And for the last few days, I've just been trying to get across how you can believe God and yet have unbelief at the same time. New concept to some people. But you have to believe only. You can't waver in your faith. You can't let what other people are saying about you affect you. And I know that in my own life, I gave personal testimony about how I believe, pulled a man out of a wheelchair, but when I didn't see the manifestation and he fell, I immediately became fearful of what are people going to think. I began to feel sorry for him. You know, this is a statement that's going to shock a lot of you. But did you know when you feel sorry for a person who's sick, it hinders you from receiving your healing? Now, I know that that may surprise some of you. The scripture says Jesus was moved with compassion and healed the multitudes. I believe compassion is good, but sometimes compassion, godly compassion, is hard. It's not always just touchy-feely. It's not always about what's making them feel good. I've had to get in people's face before and tell them, if you don't change, you're going to die. And you know what? That's compassion. You can get to where you are so sympathetic with people that you take on their hurts and their pains, and the very thing that is keeping them sick is also keeping you sick. Or let me rephrase that. The thing that keeping them sick is keeping you from ministering healing to them because you have taken their offense. You've taken their hurt and their pain. You've got to be strong. Now, compassion is a godly thing, but just sympathy, empathizing with people, isn't always going to help them. You have to get strong and you have to stand. You know, I was using this example last week about Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth, one of the constant criticisms of him was that he was mean. He was hard. And I mean, he did some harsh things. I talked about that woman who he said, let her go, and she fell on this tumor, and he just said, pick her up, and he did this. There was an instance one time where he prayed for a baby that had a swollen head, water on the brain, and he took this baby. He was standing on the stage, and it was like, I don't know, a year old baby or something, couldn't walk. And he took this baby and actually kicked it off the stage into the front row. That's terrible. But you know what? The baby was healed. And he would hit people and he would scream and yell. And people said, why do you do these things? Why do you hit people and punch them? He says, I'm not against people. He says, I'm just angry at the devil. I'm after the devil. And I can't help it if these people's bodies get in the way. You can criticize that, but you know what? He saw miraculous results. And I'm telling you, one reason a lot of people don't see the healing power of God manifest is because they empathize and sympathize with the people that they are ministering to too much. They take on their offense. You've got to get to where you hate sickness and you are loving those people enough that you're going to tell them the truth. And I tell you, sometimes you need to tell a person you aren't believing God. You're letting this person affect you. And sometimes you have to give hard answers to people. I know that some of you don't like that, and this is certainly not compatible with the touchy-feely stuff and how you can't ever say anything that offends anybody. Jesus told people, says, you snake, you viper. His disciple says, don't you know that the Pharisees were offended? And he says, if they aren't planted by my Lord, they're going to be plucked up. He says, let them be offended. You know, Jesus was hard by today's standard. He told the people right here in Matthew 17, you faithless and you perverse generation, how long am I going to be with you? You got to love people enough to tell them the truth. You know, I'd like to play another testimony of Lance Welgen. Lance and his wife, Jerry, have now been healed, and they actually run our office and our ministry, our Bible college in Chennai, India. But this man was on 17 pills a day. He was suffering, and one of our Bible college students met him in a coffee spot and loved him enough to tell him the truth and challenged him, and praise God, because of it, he got healed. Watch this. I tell you, it will really bless you. So watch this. And at the end of our program, we'll be giving you information how you can get a copy of this exact testimony that you'll be seeing.
This healing journey is the story of Lance Welgen, a man afflicted with fibromyalgia. It is also the story of Mike and Rose Gagner, two turned-on Caris Bible College graduates who met Lance at a local coffee shop. The disease had met its match.
It's really hard to be a family with someone so ill. It was just devastating to our life. Our children were crushed.
I never really saw my father like as a strong, healthy man, no. He was always sick.
I went to a lot of doctors, and I was diagnosed with fibromyalgia.
Fibromyalgia has become epidemic in the United States. From 3 to 6 million people are afflicted. That's nearly one in every 50 Americans. Since fibromyalgia has no known cause, there's no known cure. But the health industry offers medicine to help manage the symptoms. This has created a multi-billion-dollar medical industry.
With fibromyalgia, there's a lot of not just chronic fatigue syndrome, but generalized body pain. And I was on a lot of medications.
We prayed for healing, but we looked to medicine for the help. He was on 17 different prescriptions. It really frightened me.
And I was pretty much housebound. I got so bad that I couldn't work anymore.
Before the disease struck, Lance had recovered from years of alcoholism and had a passion to help other men like himself in their journey to be free. He had become a trusted counselor, but his chosen vocation was taken captive and defeated by intense pain.
I'd walk through the door and I'd see him in his easy chair night after night. I was devastated, because in my mind I'm remembering all the fun things we did. Our life together was full and happy and joyous and active. I came by the park that's behind our house that we live by, and there was this couple that were walking in the park hand in hand, and I always pictured that'll be Lance and I. And it hit me that may not be Lance and I someday. I just had to stop the car, and I just sat there and cried.
One day I kind of had to get medicated up so I could drive down to this local coffee shop that I'd go down to every few weeks. Carried my little laptop computer and hang out there for an hour or two until I decided to go home and lay flat again.
My husband and I are professional coffee shoppers. When we would study after being in school,
we were in there one day reading and studying, preparing some lessons.
I just noticed across the room there was a couple sitting at a table across from one another, and they both had their Bibles propped up. Kind of observed that and thought that, there's some good people over there.
Lance walked by the table where we were studying, and he happened to look down, and he saw, of course, we had our Bibles open, and he said, "You're reading a really good book there." And we commented back and forth a few minutes, about just how good the Word was. And he went and sat down, and as he left where we were sitting, it was really obvious that he was hurting. He was in some pretty severe pain. We went back several times after that.
The man came over and just said, "I noticed that you were having a lot of trouble. Would you like to share a little bit about that?" I was a little bit taken that he'd taken interest in me. I mean, he was just asking some questions about me.
Rosie and I were able to share with him about being at Karis Bible College. And we were able to share with him just some of the doctrine that we had received about that God wants us well, that He, in His grace, paid the price for us to have health in our bodies. I just asked Lance out and out, "Why don't you come to school?" I really didn't feel like it was the time or the place to pray for him right there in the coffee shop. I really felt like he needed some instruction. Time went on, and he promised he would come to school, and we had gotten his phone number, and I called him up and invited him, and he didn't make it, and found out later on in the day, got a call from his wife and said he was just in terrible pain.
I was just pinned in my bed. I could not get out of bed. I was in so much pain that day.
And we came to realize that it was probably the enemy didn't want him to come.
We reviewed some tools I could use to make sure that that didn't happen again.
We started to get him going at 5 a.m. And he didn't want me to take him. He was going himself.
Met Michael out in the lobby, and he told me what classes I was going to be going to.
We told him that when classes were done, we would take him aside and pray for him and pray for his healing.
So they were teaching things that I really had not heard, had not gotten any clarity on from the church pulpits and places like that, or even from people I had talked to in the past. It was all just kind of fresh news to me. Come the fourth period, the fourth and last class, he sent me to that one and said, "Now afterwards we'll get together and we'll pray, okay?"
We took him back to an empty classroom.
Just sat down with him and for a few minutes just explained what the Word says about healing, what the Word says about God wanting him well and wanting him well now, and how the Lord had paid the price for him to be healed now.
And he asked me one really important question. He asked me if there's anything inside Lance that might block me from receiving the healing that Jesus Christ wanted to give me.
And then what the Lord put on my heart was that maybe he didn't feel worthy. So I asked him,
"So Lance, do you believe you're worthy to receive healing?"
"I don't know."
"You valuable enough?"
And that just hit me. I was thinking, I feel worthy and everything, but as soon as I had that thought, some real honesty came up, and I thought, this has been the problem all along.
So I asked him, could I pray for his heart? And so I prayed for his heart that any lie that was written on his heart would be removed, and then I could see, it was almost like the finger of God just writing "son" on his heart. And that touched something deep inside of Lance.
I remember back in that coffee shop, Michael asked me, "You ever asked Jesus to heal you?" I said, "Yeah, sure. I ask God to get me well every day. I can't stand this." Kind of with a little bit of arrogance, really, because I never really, in this manner, asked for healing. But we uncovered that Lance still had some unworthiness deep down in my heart, just like a big chunk of coal sitting down in there that I didn't even know was there. And all of a sudden, in that very moment right there, I knew it was there. I was ready to give it up. And as soon as I gave it up, this prayer continued and healing began in my body. We talked right at my body. Actually, they did.
Really? Took authority over the pain, commanded the pain to go.
He did things like that I'd never heard of before. He was casting Satan out, as far as spirits of sickness, and speaking to fibromyalgia and telling my body to get back into working order the way God had created it. And he told my body to do these things. He took actual authority over my physical body and told these things to leave. Those are some of the things that I never heard from other churches before. This totally, totally new experience for me.
When we were done, I asked Lance to stand up.
"Okay. How do you feel?"
I didn't have to grab the sides of the chair or scrunch around or anything to get up on my feet like I normally did. He said, "Get up," and I got up. And I said, "Wow." I was just kind of surprised that my body got up so easily. He said, "Well, kind of go through your body and check it out." So I did. I just like scanned my body. And then it dawned on me.
"I don't feel any pain. I don't feel any pain. I don't feel any pain."
My pain was completely gone at that moment. Absolutely gone. And I just started shouting to the Lord. And they were shouting to the Lord. They were just praising God for what had just happened in those minutes.
Oh.
Excuse me!
Hallelujah!
Stay right here.
What do you think?
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this. Wow. Mike and Rosie prayed with me over there, and I am healed. Praise the Lord, I am healed. Amen. Amen.
And he was up the next day. You could not keep him from Karis Bible College. He was there every day.
After his healing, Lance became a full-time student at Karis Bible College. His classroom education in the authority of the believer over disease became exceedingly important in the days ahead.
I'd get these pains once in a while, and I'd have this, oh no, it's back. It would immediately get replaced by, oh no, it's not back. That's just the devil. All I need to do is tell him to leave me alone. He can go back to the hell he came from. Period. And I didn't need to fight with them or anything, just order them out. But I got filled up with so much of the word that I knew what to do when that happened, because I have that authority.
Lance graduated from Karis Bible College with the class of 2009. He found a new destiny as a full-time counselor in the Men's New Life program at the Colorado Springs Rescue Mission. This program, managed by other Karis Bible College students and graduates, is a one-year residential program serving the homeless and those with chronic addictions.
It's really just a prime fertile ground for ministry here. I'm able to bring people to receive the Lord. I mean, this is like every few weeks a new guy is receiving the Lord here. I'm able to minister baptism of the Holy Spirit here. And so it's an awesome, awesome thing to be a part of.
The new Lance Welgen counsels as he did before, except this time he ministers in the power of the Holy Spirit. He sees miracles of healing and restoration in the program each and every week. Through disease, our enemy, Satan, seeks to kill, steal, and destroy. Through a proper understanding of the relationship to God, Lance Welgen has discovered that God wants us to be healed and restored to a full and abundant life.
What a miracle.
I have my father back. I know our relationship will never end, that we will go together and we will be together in heaven.
Amen. Amen.
The story you saw in today's program is in the God Wants You Well package. This package includes the entire God Wants You Well teaching series on your choice of CD, or as seen on TV, DVD, the God Wants You Well book, the companion study guide, the God Wants You Well booklet, and Healing Journeys Volumes 1, 2, 3, and 4. Together, the four Healing Journeys DVDs contain a total of 19 healing testimonies that will inspire your faith and help you reach out to receive all that God has for you. This package has a catalog value of $182, but today you can get these valuable resources for a gift of just $100 or more. In addition, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. Also, if you'd like to receive more of Andrew's teachings on healing, you can find them on the Healing MP3 drive. This easy-to-use card connects to your computer with an attached USB cable and includes over 43 hours of related teachings on healing. Purchased separately on CD, these teachings have a value of $268, but you can get them all in MP3 format on this Healing MP3 drive for a gift of $85 or more. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled, Why Isn't Everyone Healed? It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In the month of April, he'll be in Mobile and Birmingham, Alabama, Atlanta, Georgia, Toronto, Ontario, Detroit, Michigan, and in Chicago, Illinois. In May, he'll be in the Netherlands. And in July, he'll be in Durham, North Carolina, Washington, D.C., and in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
I took Kara's correspondence classes from about mid-January till about mid to late August or so. CBC correspondence fit my schedule perfectly because I wasn't limited to an 8 to 12 schedule every day. Any free time I had was good time for me. If I had not done CBC correspondence, I would have had to wait an entire year before I could even start CBC. So because of CBC correspondence, I was able to graduate alongside with my sister and my father.
It's the new and improved Karis Bible College Correspondence Program, now available on USB flash drives. Visit karisbiblecollege.org today to begin your journey.